Good morning, church. First, I want to thank the session for giving me this opportunity to share the Word of God with you. It is a joy, as our brother Steve has said, as God's Word is truly able to comfort us as we sojourn in this earth on our way to the celestial city. But I must say it's also a weighty, it weighs on my mind for a long time, as I was told of the date and another date that I will be preaching again. Because the Word of God in Matthew chapter 12 verse 36 says that what we will have to give an account of the words we speak, more so if it's over the pulpit. So please pray with me as I deliver God's Word. I have written a few newsline articles on biblical fear and obedience because it touched my heart. And I'm sure some of you have read it. I hope all of you have read it. And providentially, 3 weeks ago, Reverend Patrick Tan spoke on the fear of the Lord. And he highlighted 3 G's. I wonder if you remember that. God's greatness, God's goodness, and man's gratitude. So what is the fear of the Lord? So when I look into the King James Bible, it's good to have a concordance. And I type in the word fear and Lord, and up pops 153 references to these two words. Then I look at fear and God, and there were 101 references. And then 30 references to the fear of the Lord. So what exactly does that mean? In Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 27, the Bible recorded for us what happened after Jesus fed the multitude. Jesus has sent his disciples away so that he could pray. Let's read together Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 27. Okay, let's read together chapter 14 verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." They cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." This incident is also recorded in two other passages in the Bible, in John chapter 6, verses 16 to 21, and Mark chapter 6, verses 47 to 52. Jesus had just performed a miracle in feeding the multitudes. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, we read, they cried out in fear. Jesus understands our fear, and his response to them was immediate, gentle, and assuring. He said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Mark, in the Gospel of Mark chapter 6, verses 48 and 52 give us additional insight into what happened that evening. I read for you. Verse 48 tells us, let me read verse 48. Mark 6, 48. And when he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Verse 52, it says, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Why were they amazed? And why were they afraid? Verse 52 just told us, they considered not the miracle of the loaves. The fear of God is more than just knowledge. Surely, the disciples knew the Master well, but they do not truly understand what the fear of the Lord means. As our lives are tossed by the waves of circumstances, how do we respond? Have we forgotten God's goodness, greatness, and respond in gratitude? Luke chapter 8, verse 43 to 48 is another record of how Jesus deals with our little faith. Let's read these verses again. Luke chapter 8, verses 43 to 48. Luke 8, 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody had touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." This woman, whose name is not given to us, responded to the miracle with trembling. And in a parallel passage again in Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34, I'll just read that for you. We were told that in verse 33, the woman was trembling, was fearing and trembling. Verse 33, I just read that for you. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. This led her to declare the miracle of how she was healed. She immediately responded in gratitude. And Jesus' words to her were, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." The way she was addressed was very endearing. "Daughter." In these two instances, we see that our fear of God, although not the kind of reverential awe that God expects of us, yet it draws us closer to God. And our brother Steve chose the hymn that we just sang earlier, "Nearer, Nearer to God." When we are fearful, it draws us to God. The right type of fear will draw us closer to God. James chapter 4, verse 8 tells us, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." The right type of fear will draw us closer to God. In contrast, let's look at Exodus chapter 9, four verses only. Exodus chapter 9, please turn with me to Exodus chapter 9, verses 27 to 30. Exodus 9, verse 27, it records for us Moses and the 10 plagues. Verse 27, "And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron, and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. 28, entreat the Lord, for it is enough, and that there may there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread forth my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. Verse 30. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God. In verse 27, Pharaoh said, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Does this sound like us when we know we have sinned against God? Moses told Pharaoh that he would remove the plague, but he knew that the seemingly repentant response from Pharaoh was not genuine. In verse 30, he said, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God. So we have to examine our fear of the Lord. Is it true fear of the Lord? Interestingly, among the Egyptians, there were those who genuinely feared the Lord. If you look up a few verses before that, there was verse 20. Exodus chapter 9, verse 20 tells us some who were delivered because of true fear of the Lord. Exodus 9:20 recorded for us, he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh, made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. We are told of this plague was the one of the hailstones. And when they brought their cattle into the houses, they were spared. So truly the fear of the Lord will deliver us from his judgments. But we must truly fear the Lord. So the fear of the Lord has a third response, which is given in Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 to 21. I'll read that for you. Exodus chapter 20, this was at the giving of the Ten Commandments. Chapter 20, verses 18 to 21. If you want, you can follow me. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Verse 20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. The Holy God is a fearful thing to face a holy God. And two verses from Leviticus chapter 9, verse 23 to 24. I'll read this for you again. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. Verse 24. And there came a fire. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat. And when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. This is the kind of fear when we are faced with an holy, awesome God. We have never felt that. If you have never felt that, we should try to come before this awesome God. And this is best, the best description, the best illustration is given in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 5. And this one I'd like you to read with me. It's such a wonderful passage. Chapter 6, Isaiah 1 to 5, often quoted in the Bible. But I would think after reading this, we should really want to feel this great fear of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 6. Let's read together. Verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the house of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Behind me, you see the three words. Holy, holy, holy. That's the feeling that Isaiah felt when he is faced with a greatness and power of God. The reverential sense of awe as we behold this holy God. Only we can do that when we are aware of our own sinfulness. Many a times we think we are all right. But when we really realize how sinful we are before this holy God, then we will realize, we will give him this reverential fear. When we think we are okay, we think God is just a friend, but he is a holy and awesome God. Words really cannot describe this experience of fearing God, the Lord. But from the illustrations I gave, we can see the fear, the biblical fear of God, ranges from mild respect and knowledge, as in the case of the disciples before they got to know him better, to the reverential awe that Isaiah shows us, and to the sheer terror that Pharaoh shows. Fear can be a good motivator in our relationship with God. And in our modern living, it can lead to a problem because we cannot see God literally and we do not feel the need to do so. Nowadays, it is very uncommon to hear someone describe another person as a God-fearing man or a God-fearing woman. This reverential fear of God does not come naturally. We need to be taught. In Psalm chapter 34, verse 11, and Psalm 86, verse 11, I will just read one of them. Psalm 34, verse 11, it says, Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And in Psalm 86, I think it's good to read it. It's such a wonderful verse. Verse 11, it says, Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Untie my heart to fear thy name. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 10, parents are instructed to teach their children the fear of the Lord. So those who are planning to have children, or have children, or going to have children, remember this verse. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10 is just as applicable today as in those days. It says, Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth. and that they may teach their children. So I want to share three thoughts on how to develop the fear of the Lord. First, we must believe without any doubt that God is great and good. Remember Reverend Patrick Tan's three description? We must first believe that God is great and good. This requires more than intellectual assent. We know that Satan tempted our first parents by casting doubts on God's character, his goodness and intentions. Genesis 3:10 tells us, after the fall, Adam said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." After the fall, they realized what God said is true. What Satan said is not true. So first, we must believe that God is, whatever God says to us, can be trusted with all our heart. Secondly, we must acknowledge God as our Creator and submit to His authority by obeying Him. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and Luke 6:46 says this. Jesus himself said this. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. "Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." It's no good if we believe God is good, God is great, but we say, "I'm not going to do what he wants." Submitting to proper authority is one of the marks of obedience to God. Questioning authority and even resisting it seems to be raised to such a virtue in our modern days and is spreading like a virus throughout our society. Just log on to any social media and you can see this for yourself. So we must acknowledge God is in charge and submit to his authority. Thirdly, this should lead us to obedience in holy fear. The good news for us as believers is that God has actually implanted in our heart the fear of him. This is very encouraging. Read with me Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 38 to 41. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He weeps over the sins of the Israelites. Jeremiah 32, verse 38 to 41. This, we must plant it in our heart, knowing that God has already given us the fear of him. Verse 38, "And they shall be my people, and I'll be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul." So the fear of God is in our heart. We have to let it lift and not suppress it. It's a good thing, because God said he will do good for the good of them and our children. The Hebrew word for holy, kadosh, which means to be separated. One commentator used this word to describe this holiness. He described it as transcendence. Another person said, choose the word majestic, kingly. Perhaps the expression majestic transcendence enables us to come closer to to understand this holiness of God. When we realize this holiness of God, we appreciate the sense of reverential awe that Isaiah felt when he saw the Lord sitting upon the throne. Jerry Bridges, in his book, The Joy of Fearing Lord, noted that a right perspective of God and a right perspective of our relationship with Him will lead us to live a holy life. Godly fear is a gift from our Creator to remind us of our relationship with Him. I would like to read an extract from another book. This book is called Temptation and Forgetfulness of God by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He's a German Lutheran pastor. And this may help us to understand why sometimes we cannot obey. Let me quote from him. I should have put this on the slide. It's a bit difficult. I will read it twice. This Lutheran pastor says, "In our members, there is a slumbering inclination towards desire, which is both sudden and fear. With irresistible power, desire seizes mastery of the flesh. All at once, a secret smoldering fire is kindled. The flesh burns as it is in flames. It makes no difference whether it is a sexual desire or ambition or vanity or desire for revenge, our love for fame and power or greed for money. At that moment, God is quite unreal to us. He loses all reality, and only desire for the creature is real. The only reality is the devil. Satan does not here tempt us, fill us with hatred for God, but with forgetfulness of God. The last task aroused envelops the mind and will of man in deepest darkness. The powers of clear discrimination and of decision are taken from us. The question presents itself, is this what the flesh desire really sin in this case? Or we ask ourselves, is it not really permitted of me in this particular situation to appease my desire? So remember, we all have the fear of God, and Satan knows this. But he makes us forget how real God is, as it did in the Garden of Eden. Eve fell because she forgot. And we will fall. Remember, when we are under temptation, God is quite unreal. We forgot. He loses all reality. So we have to practice the presence of God in our lives. Finally, let us remember the warning from 1 Peter chapter 5. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. One writer said about obedience, obedience is the fruit of the tree from which the fear of God is the root. I read again. Obedience is the fruit of the tree which the fear of God is the root. So if we have the fear of God, we will bear much good fruit, obedience, which will lead to all the rest of the virtues. If we can't obey, we cannot be blessed with the blessings that God wants to give us. So in closing, we must remember, first, God's goodness. Submit to His authority and respond in obedience. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the fear of the Lord which is clean, and you desire that we fear the Lord, so that you can bless us, because you are a holy God. For God, for you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, the godly fear that will give us a sound mind. So help us to put this into practice, so that your name may be exalted and glorified. We pray and ask all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.